Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. It's a Friday. It's March the 5th. And on today's program, we're going to be talking about something that is a little bit unusual. You know, you hear a lot, and I've used this myself when I've given talks and in my writing. You hear a lot about the importance of living in the present moment, you know, especially if you're looking to encounter God, to do His will for you, to experience peace. You've got to stay focused on the present moment, because we cause ourselves a lot of trouble by living in the past, by worrying about the future, and we lose sight of the importance of, we can easily lose sight, I should say, of the importance of living in the present moment. So it's really important to do that, to keep focused on the work at hand, what God wants you to do today, to deal with your current situation, not with what used to be yesterday or what might be tomorrow. You know, and that makes sense, because the present moment, that's reality. That's where God is. The past is literally that. It's the past. It's gone. It was the present in the past, but now it's not the present. It's the past. If I keep saying more about that, I'm going to get myself confused, but I think I got all that right. And also the future. You know, tomorrow the future will be the present, but right now it's the future. It's unknown. So the future only exists in our imagination. So it makes perfect sense that we should keep focused on the present moment. But what I want to tell you today is that sometimes it's important, especially when it comes to maintaining a positive outlook, to keeping your hope alive, to trusting in God, sometimes it's important to look to the past. And we'll talk about the case that when that is, we'll talk about the exact situation when that is the case. Because if we look to the past and regret things that happened before, or maybe look to unpleasant situations that we had and don't want to relive them, the past can cause us a lot of aggravation too. But there's a specific way to look at the past and how it can benefit us. That's going to be the topic of today's program. I'm really glad you're along. You're along for the ride with me. Hope you make yourself at home. Hope you're able to settle in. I hope you're having a great day. Here in southern New Jersey, it's a brisk day. A lot of wind, but the sun is shining. So it's chilly but clear. It's a pretty nice day here. And I hope that's the case wherever you are. And in fact, I hope you're comfortable. If you're in your home, if you're in the car, wherever you are, I hope you're comfortable. Hope you're ready to settle in and really share some talk as we continue this Lenten journey together. This Sunday, now this is unbelievable. This Sunday will be the third Sunday of Lent. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And remember, there's only five Sundays in Lent. Sunday is the third. And then the following Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Lent, that it's known as Lectare Sunday, so we're going to have possibly, if you go to Mass, you'll possibly see the priest and the deacon wearing rose-colored vestments, that sign of hope, that sign of, all right, it's still a penitential season, but let's focus on the finish line, which is, you know, we're nearing it ever more closely each day. And that's next week. But this week, third Sunday of Lent, pretty amazing. But I'll say this, even if you feel that this Lent has not been good, hang in there, leave it up to the Holy Spirit, do the best job you can, but leave the progress up to the Holy Spirit. I think that's one of the bigger mistakes that we make sometimes. We don't let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's job. Well, we'll try to touch on that as well. Right now, let's focus on Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus today in our opening prayer and ask Him to continue leading us along the path that's going to draw us closer to Him, that's going to draw us closer to His Father and your Father as well, and that's going to enable us to reach heaven one day when our life on earth is over. So if you'll join me, I'll lead. You can follow along, pray in your mind if you want. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for, first of all, for being here with us right now. Lord, we know that you see us. We know that you hear us. We know that you are with us wherever we are. You're with us certainly in a spiritual way right now. Lord Jesus, we know that you love us. We know that you are all powerful. We know, Lord, that all of the problems that create a lot of stress for us, they're all solvable for you. You can handle them all. We know, Lord, that if we pray for something that we're struggling with to go away and it doesn't, we know that for some reason you are allowing that problem, that sickness, that financial struggle, that loneliness, whatever it may be, to remain in order to bring greater good out of it. Somehow, that problem, even though you could take it away, if you allow it to stay, you're going to draw good out of it, and it is helping us in some way. Now, Lord, that's a tough thing for us as human beings who can often be proud. That's a tough thing for us to accept, and you know that. But, Lord, we're going to do this today. We are going to trust you, and we are going to accept it. And that decision to accept whatever you send our way today, even if it's unpleasant, it's not based upon feelings. So no matter how we feel, we accept what you send to us today. And we embrace the cross that you give us. We might not have control over the cross, the situation in our life, but we have control of our will. You gave us that control. We willingly choose to embrace our cross, and Lord, we unite it with your cross. We unite it with your cross, and we ask you to use it for good. Please continue to lead us throughout Lent, Lord. Please accept our situations, our problems. Please grant us relief. Grant us the grace to deal with them. And Lord, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on me today so that I can deliver your message on this show. I dedicate this show to you. You're the boss. You're my Lord. You're my master. You tell me what I'm supposed to say. And just help me through your grace to be able to get out of the way so the message that you have for us can be delivered. Finally, Lord Jesus, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Jesus, I ask these things in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm excited. My name is Gary Zimek. In case you're a first-time listener, the name of this show is Following the Truth. I want to thank you if you heard my cry for help yesterday and made a donation to my ministry. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. Please keep me in mind for the future. It's going to be tough going for the next few months. But I'm trusting the Lord to provide, and your generosity is a big step in that process. So thank you for that. For more information about my work, to invite me to speak at your parish, to find out how to pre-order my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, which is going to be out in, 7 days? A week from today, the book should be coming out. And you could do that by going to followingthetruth.com. Also, make sure you sign up for my daily email reflection while you are there. So all through Lent, we have been looking at the daily verse from Give Up Worry for Lent. And today's no exception. I'm going to look at it again. I'm also going to tie it into the responsorial psalm from today's daily mass. And this is this whole idea of looking back. Let me explain where this came from. The verse that I used, it's an from the Old Testament. It's from the book of the prophet Joel. It's Joel chapter 2, verse 21. And here's what Joel says. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Now, I love this verse, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, the people are facing a challenge here. You and me, we've got challenges. I've got some today, and I'm sure you do as well. And if we're not careful, especially if we're the type who tend to get a little anxious about problems, the what-ifs of life, the challenges, If we're not careful, whatever it is that we're facing, and it could be different things for each of us, whatever it is that we're facing could lead to excessive fear and ultimately to worry. It's possible, especially if it's a matter of that could affect us physically or financially or could affect our family or friends. It's very easy to let this problem turn into fear or be overcome by fear from this problem, and then that fear turn into worry. Now, fear doesn't always have to turn into worry. Fear is just an emotion. But many times, fear does lead to worry. Now, we've talked about this before. We can choose to let it not lead to worry. We can choose to let fear lead to prayer or to taking action, which is a good thing. But we're all going to slip up from time to time. And the main thing, the main takeaway I'd like you to get from this message from the prophet Joel is, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. So in other words, whatever you've got going on, your problem that you're facing, even if it's a mountain of a problem, even if it appears unsolvable, the Holy Spirit through the prophet Joel is speaking to you saying, fear not, be glad and rejoice. Again, two things that you do have control over. This idea of be glad, rejoice. This is not responding to external circumstances. Happiness is when we respond to favorable external circumstances. I like when it's warm outside. So when I wake up, it's going to be 70, 80 degrees, sunny, no rain. I feel good, and I don't have to work at that. I don't have to convince myself of why I should feel good. I just respond. That's an involuntary almost response to favorable weather. A good meal. When I eat a good sandwich or a good piece of meat of some kind, you know, or drink a great beverage, I just react. It makes me feel good. That's happiness. Happiness is a reaction to what's going on around us. Now, you realize that if you depend on what's going on around you for your peace, you're going to be miserable many times in life. That just happens because we can't control our external circumstances, and certainly they're not favorable. If we look at the world, if we look at our country right now, if we look at what's going on with COVID, I mean, a lot of negative things happening. So we're not going to just get happy by focusing on the things of the world. When Joel talks about rejoicing, as does St. Paul extensively in his letter to the Philippians, he's talking about a conscious decision. Why can we rejoice? We can rejoice because of our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who works in us. That's why we rejoice. We don't rejoice because everything is going our way, because then it would not always be possible to rejoice, right? And Paul does allude to that in his letter to the Philippians, to rejoice always, at all times rejoice. And we can't possibly do that if things are not looking good in our lives, right? So we rejoice because of God's presence. Now, in this verse from the prophet Joel, Joel says to be glad and rejoice, and here's why. For the Lord has done great things. When you and I are having a tough situation, something is causing us to lose our peace, and I have a couple of them today, and I'm sure you have something. We often become afraid of the future. Like, if this never gets better, then I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. Or if this gets worse, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or if this happens, you know, we look at the future, we look at the present, and we typically take what's happening in the present, or sometimes what might happen in the future, and we project. If I never start to feel better, if I never get a job and I keep going on interviews and I run out of money, what am I going to do? You know, and then it's like the what if projected into the future. What Joel is saying here is to us to rejoice, not for what may be happening in the present with your external circumstances. You might be broke. You might have bills to pay. You might not be feeling well. But to rejoice, yes, because you have a relationship with God. And then to take that relationship with God and look back at what he has done in the past, both throughout salvation history, and we can see that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can see numerous miracles and examples of providence when God took care of his people in the Bible. That's why it's one of the reasons it's so great to go back and read the Bible and read what God has done for his people. And then secondly, we can look back in our own lives and praise God for what he has done, and thank him for what he has done to provide for our needs. And in my email reflection today, I made the point that one concrete example of that, and I pray this way often on the program I do this, is that we're still alive. So obviously, God has provided for all of our needs from the moment we were first conceived up until the present time. Because if that was not the case, we wouldn't be alive. You know, it's so simple, but it's also so easy to overlook. God has provided for us. He's provided for our needs. Why would he stop doing that in the future? It wouldn't make sense, because God doesn't change. God's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:8. So why would he change? Well, he wouldn't. So if he provided for us in the past, he will provide for us in the future. We're not just talking material things, although that's a part of it. We're talking about spiritual matters, the grace that we need to deal with whatever difficulty might be headed our way. We're going to get what we need to deal with whatever it is that the Lord sends our way. And in order to boost ourselves, in order to give us confidence, in order to make ourselves realize that we can handle whatever it is that we are being asked to face now, or that we will be asked to face, sometimes it is really important to look back and to see what God has done throughout our history and throughout the history of salvation, of civilization. So that's why it can be good to look back. Now, certainly you don't want to look back and begin to regret things that you said, regret things that you did. That's not productive. It's no more productive than it is to look into the future and speculate about what might happen. This is the way we lose our peace, and also we lose sight of what God wants us to do. So looking back on what God has done is a really good thing to do. Now, in today's responsorial psalm, I thought this was kind of cool. The responsorial psalm from today's Mass is this. It comes from Psalm 105. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. Isn't that perfect? It fits in nicely. And when I wrote Give Up Worry for Lent, I wasn't specifically keying on the Mass readings for each day. So I think it's really cool that this fits in. Remember the marvels that the Lord has done, because the Lord has done some incredible marvels. Even if you don't get too specific, he created the entire universe out of nothing. Out of nothing, he did that. So when you really start to think about that, and a lot of times what we do is we just accept the fact that God created the world, and we don't really sit and think about what that involved. It's a pretty big deal. But if we did, if we would think about what he has done, we would have a lot more confidence in him going forward, in confidence that he could help us with whatever it is that we hand over to him, right? Remember the marvels the Lord has done. When the Lord called down a famine on the land and ruined the crop that sustained them, he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. Now, The story of Joseph was taken slave, sold into slavery by his brothers. And this is in the book of Genesis. Great story, the story of Joseph. And Joseph was sold into the Egyptians. So he was sold into slavery in Egypt. But then a famine came along the land, and Joseph's family and many others as well ended up being dependent on Joseph for food because he obtained a favorable position in Egypt. He was the second in command to Pharaoh. And through God's providence, Joseph was in the right place at the right time, and Joseph was able to be responsible for feeding not only his family, several of whom were the ones responsible for selling him into slavery, but he's also responsible for feeding many other people. Let me just finish this psalm. They had weighed him down with fetters, and he was bound with chains, till his prediction came to pass, and the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Now, this is a case where, and I think this is a good point for us as we look at God's providence taking care of his people. This is a case where on the surface, it looked like Joseph just ran into the worst luck imaginable, and he's in a no-win situation that is absolutely going to be a disaster for him. You know, sold into slavery and all kinds of stuff happens. But in the end, and again, it's a really great story. I'm not going to get into it all here, but in the end, Joseph is in a position to not only provide for his own needs, but to provide for the needs of his family and his people. So it's an example of how God can use what appears to be a hopeless situation, an uncomfortable situation, an unpleasant situation, however you want to look at it, to pour forth his graces and his providence. So I tell you that because when you look back at what the Lord has allowed to happen or has done in your life, you're going to find cases where on the surface it didn't seem good when it started. All right, I'm sure you can come up with some cases where things were not looking good, or where you were wondering, how am I going to get through this? But you look back and you see that somehow good came out of it. But that involves going back and looking at the situations in your life, some of which involve difficulty and suffering, I'm sure. But that God got you through it, and you learned something from it, or maybe some other blessings came out of the situation. So sometimes you're going to look back and say, well, I don't see the good. That doesn't mean there isn't good, but you might not see it, right? So if you look back and you say, oh, I do see the good. This is an example of God coming through when I didn't think anything could be done. He saved a day. I got a miracle, whatever. And I look back and I say, that's great. God is really fantastic. He did good work. Those cases are easy to look back and say, well, God can really help me, and he did help me. But sometimes you're going to look back and you might not be able to see the good that came out of it. In those cases, and again, that doesn't mean that good didn't come out of it, because if God's involved, if he's letting it happen, some good has come out of it or will come out of it. But you can look back and say, well, I'm alive still. So whatever that problem was, it didn't kill me. I'm still alive. I am still here. I am still standing. So then you can look back and say, yeah, God was watching out for me. Looking back is a good thing because it can help us to remember that God was there for us in the past and he will be there for us in the future. Now, if you have any questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. But I do want you to remember that whatever it is that you're facing, I'm here to encourage you, and I'm not here to lie to you. I do not give you false hope, never have, never will. I just speak the truth. Jesus gives us the truth. He said that our Father in heaven will provide for our needs. We don't always have to understand that. I don't always understand that. but I believe him. And I believe him through faith, and my faith has grown because of the things that I have seen him do in my life. My faith is nowhere near where I would like it to be. That's what we're, part of what we're trying to do during Lent and throughout the rest of our lives, actually, to let our faith increase. Our faith grows by giving the Lord a chance to work in our lives. That's how our faith grows. And he works best in the middle of the storm. So if you're in a storm right now, it's an opportunity. Make sure you turn to him and let him work in your life. And that's how your faith will grow. But I guarantee you, he will provide for your needs. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And as always, please let me know if you have questions. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Please consider donating to my ministry if you have not done so. Especially if I could just get a couple more monthly donors. $10 a month would be so appreciated. So if you've been thinking about it and you want to give it a try for a month or two, see how it works out, all you need to do is visit followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and then you'll be able to make that donation, become a monthly sponsor, or make a one-time donation through PayPal. followingthetruth.com. You are fantastic. Thank you. And I want you also to know that I'm praying for you. I will continue to do so. And if you would be so kind as to pray for me and my family, I would be very appreciative of that fact. Now, God willing, I'm going to be back here with you on Monday. Oh, before I forget, the Gary Zimak Show podcast is available. You can download that now, wherever you got this podcast from. I'll look at the Sunday Mass readings, the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent through that on that podcast. So if you haven't subscribed to that, you might want to consider it, but otherwise just download it and you can listen to that. And don't forget, give up the my daily email reflection. What the heck is my daily email? Oh, let not your heart be troubled. I had to think about that. I got a lot of things going on. That's available on Saturday and Sunday, so I'll be sending that out as well. So you won't have to be alone for the weekend. Know that I'm with you, okay? Hang in there. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And I look forward to being with you next time on Following the Truth. Bye-bye.